Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Mist, the program for those of you who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they are all counterproductive, that none of them can be fixed. They are not worth your allegiance. In fact, you ought not be allied with any of them. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us, even to challenge anything that we say, toll free 877-300-7645. A friend of mine sent me a couple of links to the two Roman Catholic bishops that had both resigned amid sexual perversion allegations. We'll cover both of those stories along with the one that continues to progress out of the Caribbean, where Roman Catholic clerics not only perpetrated horrible and perverse acts of sexual assault against children, but that up through the ranks, at direct orders from the Pope, Roman Catholic bishops and cardinals and archbishops and the like, all deliberately hid this perverse behavior from the congregations and from the authorities, all because the Roman Catholic Church wanted to maintain its prestige, its credibility, and its access to its parishioners' money. And so it is coming to roost that they covered up, perpetrated horrendous crimes, and at the highest levels covered up those crimes. So he said, speaking of the RCC, last Sunday I was flipping through some channels trying to find one of the news talk shows and came across a program with a Catholic priest. He started out by looking at the camera, smiling, and then saying, well, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is that we've got plenty of money. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. So we'd like you to donate. Oh, Pauline Christianity at its best. Let's guilt people into giving these ungodly institutions money, making the individual who gives the money thinking that they're somehow doing a service for God. God never asked for money. Never. There is no place in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms that God asked for money. Yosha didn't ask for money. Paul, of course, asked for money, but Paul was a false prophet. God does not need your money. He does not want your money. All God wants is you. He's invited you to meet with him seven times a year, Passover, unyeasted bread, firstborn children, the promise of the Shabbat, trumpets, where we call out a warning and we issue an invitation, the Day of Reconciliations, and Sukkah, which is to camp out. So Yahweh wants us to meet with him, to party with him. He wants us to come to know him. He wants us to engage in his covenant family. That's all God wants. Nothing more. He does not want your money. But nonetheless, religious individuals do. Now, we were reviewing the Roman Catholic edict to denounce, to demean, to eliminate Yahweh's name from anything associated with them. I mean, there is nothing you can do as an individual or as an institution that is more unforgivable, that is more deadly, that is more deceitful, that is more destructive, that is more damning than removing Yahweh's name from yourself and your institution. It is so heinous from God's point of view that on his third statement that he etched in stone, Yahweh specifically says that anyone who causes my name to be diminished, to be for naught, such as eliminating it from any aspect of that institution or individual's life, that is unforgivable. It's an unforgivable crime. What the Roman Catholic Church has done is unforgivable. As a result, there is no one that can be saved by Roman Catholicism. They have violated the single most important instruction that Yahweh ever delineated. Do not mislead. Do not cause people to go to their death. Do not needlessly squander life by misleading people through the annulment or diminishment of his name. Christianity at all is guilty of this. They never use Yahweh's name. They instead have replaced Yahusha's name, which tells you who he is, Yahweh saving us, with a fictitious name so as to diminish and devalue Yahweh's name. So, here's Roman Catholicism stating that regarding translations, the letter instructs, this is from the hierarchy, this is from the grand poopah, the perfect of the doctrine of the religion, of its teachings, of its protocols, of its laws and institutions, saying that Adonai is to be translated as the in English as Lord. But Adonai is not written there. There is no way to translate Adonai as Lord in the text because Adonai is never written in the text. Adonai means my Lord. Yahweh is written in the text. Edon is written in the text. But there is no Adonai. So it can't be translated. Anything. And the moment you translate a replacement for Yahweh's name, then what? Then are you just changing what God said to suit your institutional preferences? Then you can't claim that your institution is based on the testimony that God has given. You can't hold up the book and say that it's inspired. You can't refer to the text if you say that it's from God and yet you feel authorized to change its single most important aspect, its author's name. It goes on to say the words of sacred scripture. There's no such thing as sacred in Yahweh's view. Set apart, not sacred. And Yahweh does not use the word scripture. He calls his testimony his testimony. He refers to it as the word. He refers to it as the Torah, which means teaching, as the prophets, and as the Psalms, which means writings or songs and with lyrics. It says that this is the scripture that is contained in the Old and New Testament. But there is no Old Testament. There is no New Testament. I told that to a doctor yesterday that had across his screen a quotation from the Christian New Testament. And we got into a conversation, and I said, you know, there is no New Testament. And he says, oh, that's because, you know, it's all one. You know, it's from beginning to end, it's all one. I said, no, that's not true. You know, Yahusha said, there's the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, full stop, nothing more. He's the living embodiment of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. There is no renewed covenant. There is no New Testament. Nothing changed. And went on to say that you know, if you look at Jeremiah 31, it doesn't say that there will be a New Testament with a Gentile church. It says that the Testament will be reaffirmed with Yahuda and Yisrael. And it doesn't say there's going to be a change to this gospel of grace. It says no. The renewal and reaffirmation of the covenant is going to be based on a wholesale integration of the Torah, negating half of the Christian New Testament, literally contradicting it. So you can't have a New Testament. That was tough for this individual to swallow. I said, no, it's written a book. It's called Questioning Paul. I'd recommend you read it. It proves conclusively, using Paul's first letter and comparing it to the Torah, that Paul's a false prophet. I mean, just think of the illogical nature of this Christian that claims, this is the Roman Catholic Church claiming there's a New Testament. Just think of the impossibility of the God who authored the Torah, prophets, and Psalms inspiring someone to contradict everything he said, to annul his Torah, to say that his Torah cannot save, that he would inspire someone to say that he can't be trusted and that nothing that he wrote is reliable and that you'd believe him. And that's the ridiculousness of a New Testament, particularly from a God that says, I don't change. It is absolutely irrational. And yet there are 2 to 3 billion Christians on the planet, all who have been duped into something that just on its surface, on its face, is illogical, irrational, absolutely and wholly impossible. So they say that the Old and New Testament express truth which transcends the limits imposed by time and place. Well, if they express truth, then what right do you have to change them and make them untrue? Roman Catholicism? This individual said, so who is the whore of Babylon to the Roman Catholic Church? He said, is America the whore of Babylon? I said, no, it's the Roman Catholic Church. Christianity at large, but the Roman Catholic Church. You know, all you have to do is read Daniel and consider why Yahweh inspired him to tell us that Rome would be the most vicious of all beasts, but that it would not die, that it would continue to trample down, and not just a region, but the entire world. So only one organization qualifies as having grown out of the beast that was Rome to influence in a negative way the entire world. Roman Catholicism, of course, also Eastern Orthodox Christianity and their stepdaughter, Protestant Christianity. Oops. It says here they are the word of God. So why don't you say they're the word of Yahweh? You know that's his name. Why are you writing a letter saying that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, or the what you call Scripture, is the word of God, and yet you're telling us that you're going to change his name from Yahweh, which you know is there, to the Lord? Why are you doing that? What gives you the right to do so? We'll be back and we'll express the indignation against Roman Catholicism. So much of what they write is just brain dead. It says they are the word of God expressed in human words. Now, doesn't God tell us that Hebrew is his language? Doesn't he reveal that even through Yahusha? We read in Revelation that it's Hebrew being spoken in heaven. When Yahweh speaks to us, the words that he chose to speak to us, and he's speaking in first person, for crying out loud, is Hebrew. So if he's speaking in first person, are they words of human words, or are they words of God? I mean, it's not tough to understand this, and yet they would add to this clause, they are the word of God expressed in human words? No. Throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, Yahweh speaks in first person, using the words of his choice. Hebrew. Yahusha spoke Hebrew. And when Yahusha tells us about heaven through the prophet Yohanan, we find that in heaven, they're speaking Hebrew. But Roman Catholicism despises Hebrew. They look at Hebrew as one of the two criminals that was hanging beside their God on their pagan cross. And that Latin was the language that should prevail. Latin was the language of the beast that is Rome. It just further identifies the Roman Catholic Church with the whore of Babylon, with the beast that is Rome, the most vicious of all time. It goes on to say, by means of these words of life, well, they are words of life, except for the fact that your church condemns 80% of them. and says that there is no life in what it calls the Old Testament. Well, that would be a problem if you were rational. The Holy Spirit, but there is no Holy. The Spirit, according to the word of this God, is set apart. If you don't know that she is set apart, you do not know her. It says it introduces the faithful to knowledge of the truth. Well, if you have knowledge of the truth, then you don't need faith. If you have knowledge of the truth, you, for crying out loud, don't need a church. But the moment you have knowledge of the truth, faith is superfluous. And it says this truth is whole and entire. If it's whole and entire, what right do you have to change it, to negate it, to copy edit it? Or are you just spewing out rhetoric because you want to hear yourself talk? And thus the word of Christ comes to dwell in the faithful in all of its richness. Good God! Catholics, it's not the word of Christ, the word of Yahweh. No wonder you replaced his name. You don't like his name. You don't acknowledge him. You created your own God, and your own God is Christ. Yeah, based upon the Greek word, a language that he never spoke, never wrote in Greek, never communicated in Greek. And yet you picked a Greek verb based on the verb to drug, to apply drugs. Yeah, no wonder you're lost. Cardinal Renzi, citing the instruction Liturgium Authenticium, this would be in Latin, of course, explains that translators must use the greatest faithfulness and respect regarding the name of God, he says, with total and complete hypocrisy, thereby aligning himself with the very religious leaders Yosha condemned, as chronicled in the later chapters of Matanyah. If you're going to respect Yahweh's name, you're going to say Yahweh's name. If you're going to respect Yahweh's name, you're going to use Yahweh's name. To not use his name, to outlaw his name, to change his name, is the greatest possible sign of disrespect. Which he says, as a moron, was held to be unpronounceable. How could it be held to be unpronounceable? You tell me that. Explain to me how you can have an alphabet comprised of 22 letters, all of which are pronounceable, all of which comprise the thousands of words, all of which are pronounceable, throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And that it is the same letters that comprise all of the names that we properly transliterate. And you're telling me that we can pronounce Torah, but not Yahweh. We can pronounce Yisrael, but not Yahweh. That we can communicate the sound of those four letters in every word and in every name except one name? Cardinal Renzi, citing this instruction and his authority, explains that translators must use the greatest faithfulness and respect regarding the name of God. Well, if you're going to respect it, you're going to use it. If I were to respect your name, Scott, would I call you Scott?
I would hope so.
And if I were to disrespect you, would I change your name to, say, Mortimer? Or how about Murray?
Well,
do you like Mudface?
I would say that Mudface would be more offensive than the other two. If you change it to the other two, I'd just be like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, how about scam or scum?
Yeah.
That's an S word.
But that's what, yeah. I mean, if you change it to those, then yeah. But if you just change it to, like, Murray or whatever, I wouldn't know who you were talking about. And
right.
I mean, yeah.
You wouldn't. That's true.
Like
if I changed God's name to Christ, for example, God wouldn't even know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's just a name completely unrelated to him. Although it's kind of like calling him scummy because it means to apply drugs.
I would say that Lord would probably annoy
but,
him more.
Yeah, it's like me calling you demonic, wouldn't it, or satanic?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you call him Lord, those are fighting words.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, if you call me Murray or whatever, I'd be like, okay, I don't even know who this guy's talking
about. Okay, this is an idiot. I don't know this idiot. He obviously doesn't know me, so I'm just going to disregard him, which is what God does.
Yep.
If you're calling him Jesus or Christ, he's just going to disregard you. You don't know him. It's obvious. So there's no reason for him to pay any attention to you.
Yeah.
So the Roman Catholic Church is saying that the greatest faithfulness and respect regarding the name of God, that's what they're seeking by specifically outlawing the use of Yahweh's one and only name. They're being complete dishonest hypocrites.
Well, they're making it sound like he's ashamed of his name.
Or they're making it sound like they're ashamed of his name. Then it says he describes YHWH as an expression of the infinite's greatness and the majesty of God. How can it be that YHWH is an expression of the infinite greatness and the majesty of God if you don't know how it was written or what it means? And if you don't use it, how is anybody going to know what it means? And if it's an expression of the greatness of God, then why not express it? Goes on to say, which was held to be unpronounceable. How could it be held to be unpronounceable? I understand that there are rabbis that say that you shouldn't say it because they didn't want it said, because they wanted themselves empowered. But you know, you're supposed to be, if you're gonna put down edicts as part of an institution that claims to speak for God, you really ought to shed your ignorance and be rational. Is it possible that three of the most commonly used Hebrew words or Hebrew letters could be pronounceable in tens of thousands of Hebrew words, and that those same three letters are suddenly unpronounceable in one?
If only Hebrew was still a language used today.
So we can pronounce Torah. We can pronounce Goyim. We can pronounce Shalom. We can pronounce Israel. We can pronounce all of those things.
They have no problems pronouncing Hallelujah.
They certainly don't, do they? Hallelujah. They can pronounce that. If you can pronounce Hallelujah, why don't you tell me what letter is in Hallelujah that is not in Yahweh's name? It's got the hey, doesn't it? Got two of them. One to begin the word, one to end the word. So, Hallelujah's got two hey's, tells you how to pronounce the hey's. Okay, we got that. We've got a yod, too, don't we? That's the yah at the end. We've got we have a yod followed by a hey. The Hallelujah, yah, yah, yah. And to get the ooh sound, where does that letter come from? Where does that sound come from in Hallelujah? Oh, son of a gun, it's from the wah.
It's weird.
And that's every one of the letters. So how is it pronounceable in Hallelujah and not pronounceable in Yahweh?
I'm a genius.
You're a genius. You did it. Wow. You solved the unpronounceable conundrum. Let's go tell the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm sure they'll start using it now. So it was replaced during reading of sacred scriptures by means of an alternate name. An alternate name. Wait a minute. Adonai is not a name. It's a word. It's a word with a possessive. It's my Lord. That's not a name. That's a word. Adon in Hebrew is a word. Never a name. When Lord is communicated as a name, it's written Baal. Baal. 100% of the time. And you don't write a name like this would be Scotty in Hebrew with the Y meaning my Scott. Now, your significant other can call you my Scott. But it really isn't appropriate for anybody else to call you my Scott. And that would be Scotty.
Uh-huh.
I would be Yada-E. My Yada.
I'd probably let my mom get away with it, too. That's my Scott. My Scott. Yeah.
Yes, that's probably reasonable. So, with this idea of an alternate name, first of all, they're acknowledging that it's an alternate, which means they're changing it. But they're also saying that Adonai is a name, and by the way, Adonai does not mean Lord. Adon means Lord. Adon means upright pillar, which is the word used in the Torah. And Adon means Lord, master, owner. But Adonai is my Lord. Well, that's a problem, because now Roman Catholicism's leaders are speaking out of complete ignorance, and they are deceiving. But what right does anyone have to change the testimony of Yahweh? That's like saying, you know, I'm going to change DNA. I don't like the way that he created it. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the laws of physics, because I don't like what he created. You don't get that opportunity. The translation tradition, this is not a translation, this is a substitution tradition, has importance for understanding Christ. How in the hell does it? It maybe has importance for positioning your Christ, who isn't God, as a candidate for God. Because if you change Masayah, which means the work of Yah, and you change Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves, to Jesus Christ, then you can call your Jesus Christ Lord, because it's for sure as hell that he is not God. So why not call him Lord? Why not name your Jesus Christ after your God, Hasatan, the Lord? It gives them a way to differentiate and to create this impression that their Christ is God. But he's not. Even Yahusha was only a diminished manifestation of Yahweh, set apart from him. Now, a diminished manifestation is not equal to God. Yahusha is simply a diminished manifestation of Yahweh set apart from him. That does not make him equivalent to God. He even referred to this himself so that we would understand it. And yet the Roman Catholic Church has changed it. And then they changed his name. And then they changed his title. And then they negated God's actual name. Why would they do all of those things? There's only one reason. There's only one reason that you can come up with that they would put in a letter from the highest ranking Catholic on the nature of the religion, the prefect of the doctrine. There's only one reason they would do that. To deliberately deceive for their own ends. Lord, in fact, becomes interchangeable between God, the God of Israel, and the Messiah. By the way, if you can pronounce Messiah, can't you pronounce Yahweh? Of the Christian faith. The God of Israel and the Messiah of the Christian faith become interchangeable as a result of Lord. No, they don't. They're not interchangeable. Yahusha is not interchangeable with Yahweh. there are times when Yoshe isn't even, doesn't even have a diminished aspect of God associated with him. So I said, my God, why have you separated yourself from him, from me? The truth is that the God of Yisrael is Yahweh. He is not the Christ. He most certainly is not the Lord. He has nothing to do with the Christian faith. And he will never be equivalent to, interchangeable with, Yahweh. This is completely erroneous teaching. Cardinal Arenze particularly cites St. Paul's writings. He ain't no saint. He is the man who Yahweh said is the plague of death. He is the man Yahusha said was the wolf in sheep's clothing. Paul's writings in the letters to the Philippians, in which he wrote, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, well, that's Paul for you. Yahweh doesn't say it. Yahweh doesn't use Jesus. He doesn't use Christ. He doesn't use Lord in reference to himself. But Roman Catholicism does, and so does Christianity at large. So if you are a non-Roman Catholic Christian, you bear all of this on you. All of the guilt, all of the rebellion, all of the estrangement. It's appropriate for you too. Bishop Arthur Cetarelli, Chairman of the United States Bishop Committee on Divine Worship, said in a note to U.S. bishops that to fulfill this directive, songs with phrases such as, this is a disgusting phrase, this is a phrase that must be eliminated from our lips, songs with phrases such as the repulsive, Yahweh, I know you are near, will need to be modified. I agree. Why lie? Why have a Roman Catholic say such lies? Yahweh, I know you're near. Yahweh's nowhere around. I mean, if you want to find the most godless place on earth, go into a church or a mosque. You'll find the most godless place on earth. God never goes into churches, never goes into mosques. So why would a Roman Catholic who has no clue who he is, who has squandered their soul, who will never know him, who will never be known by him, lie and say, Yahweh, I know you are near? He's not. So we agree on something. The sacred name of God in Hebrew, the four letter. Now, this is from a website that was sent to me when I began this a couple days ago. Now, the sacred. Now, God doesn't have a sacred name. He only has a name. In Hebrew, the four letter word or symbol meaning yod, hey, va, hey. It's not a va. It's a yod, which is the hand reaching down and out to us, the Y. And it's not a ye. It's a hey, which is pronounced ah, and then it's not a vav. There is no V in Hebrew. It's the letter is the wah, but it pronounced o. And then they duplicitously take the same letter, which they called a yeh, change it to a he at the end of the word. It's amazing how dishonest people can be, or just stupid, signifying Yahweh. You know, if you don't know what the letters are and what they sound like, I guess that's what you'd come up with. It is interesting, of course, that they made it a yay and a hey, and yet they got an ah sound in the beginning from the hey and an a sound, eh, sound at the end. It's pronounced in Hebrew as Adonai. No, it's not pronounced in Hebrew as Adonai. It's pronounced in Hebrew as Yahweh. Now, Adonai is interesting. If Adonai is a name, the name of Adonis. Adonis is the Lord. He's one of the dominant, predominant gods in the Greek religion. There is an Adonis, all right, and it is a name, but it's a name of a false god. Congratulations, Christians. You've been played for fools. And it's generally written as J-H-Y-H. How could you have J-H-Y-H when the Y is the first letter and there's no J in Hebrew? With variations of J-H-V-H, there's no V in Hebrew. No J in Hebrew. There you go. You got two letters that don't even exist in Hebrew to convey this. In English, it became Jehovah. Yeah, no J. No V. No J sound, no V sound. So how can you come up with that unless you are stupid? This has often been confused with God, and it didn't say with God's introduction, with God introduction of himself to Moses, and it's Moshe, I am that I am. That's based on Ihaya. Then Asher, which means associated with, related to, Ihaya, the verb that defines his name, Haya. And what's interesting, of course, is that what nobody wants to say when they're trying to communicate this myth, they just take a portion of something out of context in what they call Exodus, it's actually Shemoth, 3:14, is that in the next breath, Yahweh says, tell them, my name is Yahweh. It is how I want to be remembered for all time. Yahweh. This particular introduction was derived from the god of Abba, Braham, or Father Braham, who introduced himself in Sanskrit as Tassat. I am that is. No, he didn't. I mean, Abraham, merciful and enriching father, is known to us only in Hebrew and only in the Torah. All other mentions of him are simply plagiarized from that source. It's amazing how stupid people have become.